Proverbs chapter 13, verses 21 through 25. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of the soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Well, we've got several subjects that's dealt with here in this passage today, as always in these chapters here, between chapters 10 and 22. And we find here, again, contrast and comparison, and some things that we've considered before, some things that we're being reminded of, and a little bit of review. What the child of God does with the things that's been put in his hands by the Lord, and what the sinner does, or the wicked person does, with what the Lord's allowed them to have as well. It's important. What we do with our possessions, how we treat our possessions, how we consider the things that God has given us is important. Do we have them or do they have us? That can change from time to time. You know, we could have victory over that, and we have everything in proper perspective as far as our possessions are concerned, the things that we own, and then all of a sudden things change. And then we start putting more value upon the things that we have instead of the fact that we let them control us instead of us controlling them. It's not wrong to have things. It's wrong for things to have us. And so the understanding that the most important things in life are not things. It's that which eternal is eternal. That's the Lord. That's His Word. That's people. Relationships. So that's dealt with here in this passage. In verse 21, it says, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Now, this principle of sowing and reaping, you reap what you sow. If you sow good things, you'll reap good things. If you sow evil things, you'll reap evil things. That's here. That is through the Scripture. I'll give you a couple of verses that we need to be reminded of. Numbers 32:23, the Lord is speaking to the children of Israel. Some of them were willing to, they were willing to go across Jordan and to fight in Canaan and to subdue the land for the Canaanites, but a couple of tribes liked it on the other side of the Jordan and on the east side. And so they said, if it's okay, we'd like to just settle here and we'll go over and fight for the other tribes, but we'd like to settle here if that's all right. And Moses said, asked the Lord about it, said, yeah, that's all right, but you need to go over and fight like you said, because if you don't, it says, be sure your sin will find you out. That's what it says here in verse 23. If you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Well, that's a principle that goes throughout the Scripture, doesn't it? When we do that which is wrong, then we're going to suffer for it. The verse here says, evil pursueth sinners. It's like a wild animal chasing you. When you do that which is evil, it's going to attack. It's going to get you. And that's why it's important for us to live rightly and righteously before the Lord. Walk in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. When we're walking down a path of righteousness, what do we have to fear? Nothing. We trust in the Lord. His rod and His staff, they comfort us, don't they? And so there's protection with the Lord when we're walking on paths of righteousness. We don't have to fear. We just trust the Lord. But when we're living in sin, then there is something to fear, because there is going to be reaping what we've sowed. But it says the last part of the verse, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Now, that brings us to a question. Do we do that which is right because we're hoping to receive something in return? Or do we do that which is right because it's right? You see, I think it's important that we have the right motive about it as well. It's like pastors, there's a principle in God's Word, in John chapter 10, talks about Lord Jesus talked about shepherds and hirelings. You see, a hireling only took care of the sheep because they were getting paid for it. And when trouble came, they would flee. They wouldn't give their life for the sheep, but the shepherd would, because he loved the sheep. He cared for the sheep. The same way with pastors and the under shepherds. Is the pastor of the church, is he in it for what he can get out of it? Now, very few pastors are getting rich today. There are a few. And we won't. That's another message, isn't it? We start describing those. And I want to be careful that I don't judge them and say, well, they're in it for what they can get out of it. But they're sure, some of them are sure accumulating a lot. But that being said, our motive must be for the Lord and for His glory. Now, we all know that it takes a certain amount of money or income to survive. We understand that, don't we? But again, our perspective of that, how we look at that, how we view that. But are we serving the Lord because of what we're going to receive? Now, all through the book of Proverbs, there are promises of blessings, of material blessings to those who follow the Lord. And they had an expectation that the Lord was going to bless them if they lived right. And I don't think that's out of context for us to a degree, although we don't know what the blessing might be. Did you know that sometimes a blessing might be that we don't have to go to the doctor? Or for something, we figure out a way to fix the car without having to take it to the mechanic? There's blessings that where we don't have to pay, or we don't have to the expense. There's the spiritual part of it as well, and that, of course, for our New Testament Christians, far greater than the material part, the spiritual blessings that we have of the Lord. Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. What does that mean? That's talking about the spiritual blessings that we can enjoy by knowing our sins are forgiven, the power to live in victory with Him, knowing that He's with us, knowing that He will help us, He will provide for us. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. In Isaiah chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, it says, Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hand shall be given unto him. So Isaiah said that, didn't he? He said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. But verse 11 says, woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill to him with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. So the principle is the same. And that's why verse 21 says, evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. There is safety in doing the right thing and doing good and doing right. Now, I know and you know that bad things do happen to good people. But generally speaking, the bad things that happen to good people are not because of the goodness they're doing. Does that make sense? It's because of testings. There's testings and trials of this time, right, that the Lord allows to come into our life to make us stronger. But then we're also living in a sin-cursed world, and there are sufferings of the present time. And that's simply that things wear out. You're out working in the garden and you get stung by a bee. Well, the Lord hates me. He sent a bee to sting me. I must have done something wrong. No, you're just out there working in the garden and you get stung by a bee. Things happen in this world that we live in, a sin-cursed world, and there's things that we have to experience because of that. That's uncomfortable, inconvenient, and sometimes painful. But it's not because of what we're doing. When we're doing the right thing, then we're going to reap that which is good. And that's what it says here very clearly. The Lord said that in Isaiah, says it in Numbers, says it here in our passage today. Now, if you would look at verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of sinners is laid up for the just. children's children. That would be grandchildren. Right. Most of us here probably today have grandchildren. If you got grandchildren, raise your hand. It looks like a majority. Grandchildren. I'm planning on leaving some stuff to our grandchildren. It probably won't be as much as some of you leave to your grandchildren. But I'm going to do the best I can. I haven't accumulated a lot, but what I have accumulated, I'm going to leave to them, so to speak, and of course give to the church as well. But there's a principle here he's talking about, preparing for that time and realizing that you are going to leave it to somebody and to take care of your family. And he says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Now, have you ever seen that bumper sticker? It says, I'm spending my children's inheritance, or something like that. You know, and, well, I guess every family's different, right? And every situation's different as far as the ability or the access or how much is you're able to leave behind. And we've talked before about things that have sentimental value. You know, I was talking to my grandson this morning. He is three, almost four. We were having a conversation. And I was looking at my Bible. And he says, is that your Bible? I said, yes. He said, I have a Bible. I said, I've got a lot of Bibles. I said, I'm probably going to leave them to my each of you and my grandkids and all that. He said, oh. I don't know how much he understood, but I have some Bibles I'd like for when I'm gone that I'd like for them to have. My daughter's got one of them this morning because she forgot hers. And there's a $2 bill in it, and I told her that it needs to still be in there when she's done using it. Okay? You going to find it? Okay. Wouldn't it be neat to leave some money in each of your Bibles? Did you hear about the guy that he was, I think it was a son or I think it was a grandson that was going through some financial troubles, and grandparents sent him a Bible. And he said, I don't need a Bible, I need some money. But if he just took time to look in the Bible, guess what was in the Bible? Yeah, a blessing. So, you folks understand what this verse says. And I'll give you some verses here to that go along with that. Psalm 25 in verses 12 and 13. It says, what man is he that feareth the Lord? It's a question. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. There's a principle here of a blessing to those who are following the Lord, for the children and grandchildren. At least it may ever how much financial or material inheritance it may be, but what about a spiritual heritage? I know a lot of folks who have told me over the years that their grandfather or their grandmother or their mom or their dad was the best Christian that they've ever known. And they've got that memory. They got the memory of their parents and grandparents sharing the scripture with them, taking them to church. It's a good memory. And it's one that should be practiced and remembered. And so there is that point of the blessing, God blessing the family of those, the children of those who follow the Lord. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 8, this goes along with the last part of the verse 22. Let's read the last part of verse 22. It says, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Proverbs 28 and verse 8 says, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. There is a principle here. It seems that those who do not follow the Lord or use their money for the Lord's glory, that money will wind up in the hands of those who will glorify the Lord with it and use it for his glory. There is that principle here. Ecclesiastes 22 and verse 26 says, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God, This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. So it's saying here in a roundabout way that God allows the sinner to make and accumulate that it may wind up in the hands of those who will use it for His glory, be a blessing to the poor. Isn't that interesting? You know, the way of God is far beyond our way. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. Scripture tells us that. And His way of doing things is righteous and good, but He's working in the big picture, you know. We live in the nasty now and now. That's where we live, but we should live in light of eternity, shouldn't we? Like God does. He has a way of working all these things out for our good and for His glory. And so it says here, and so again, we're reminded that what we have, it should be used for the Lord's glory, and even with our as an inheritance to our children, it should be known that that belongs to the Lord. Then verse 23 says, "Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that destroyed for want of judgment." Again, the principle that if you work hard and if you submit your life to the Lord and what He's given, He will bless it and multiply it. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but there's people you've probably met and I've met over the years that had very, very little as far as this world's goods is concerned, but they had the blessing of God on their family and on their home. And God watched over them in a very special way, very precious way, and protected them. And they did the best they could, and God took care of their need and blessed that little garden that they had in the backyard. And it's just amazing, isn't it? You see folks that have honored, and it could be you. It could be someone that you know. God will bless those who honor Him. He will honor those that honor Him. And that is by hard work and by doing. He feeds the sparrows, and we know that. But He doesn't drop it in their nest. They have to go out and gather it. And so there's a principle of work and gathering and doing what He says to do. And He will honor that and bless it. Much food, He says, is in the tillage of the poor. In Proverbs chapter 28, it says in verse 19, it says, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." If you want to have something that from the Lord, then you honor the Lord with it. But if you want to follow after vain persons, if you want to try to multiply your money out in Vegas and live loosely and do the things that the world says to do to multiply your gain and to do all that, then you're going to wind up, as my mom used to say, a fool and his money are soon separated. You ever heard that one? Wow. Well, I don't know that the Bible says that, but it says that in principle, doesn't it? A fool and his money are soon separated. That's what He says here in verse 22. It says, or verse 23, it says, "But there is that is destroyed or lost for want or lack of judgment." The word want here means lack. Like when it says in 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That means lack. Want, we connect in today's language, we use that with things that we desire. Like when I used to tell my dad that I wanted something, he'd say, "Well, how old are you?" I'd say, 8, or whatever age I was. He'd say, "Well, you're old enough." I'd say, "All right, old enough to get it?" He said, "No, you're old enough that your wants don't hurt you." I didn't want to hear that. I wanted Him to get me what I wanted. Well, the Lord gives us what we want from time to time, as long as we want what He wants. That's the key, isn't it? Our wanter needs to be lined up with what He wants for us. But it says, "But there is that which is destroyed or lost for lack of judgment." The Bible talks about those that have their life and their possessions are like putting money in a bag with holes in it. That reminds me, have you ever heard the phrase, my dad, if I got a dollar or if I came up with some money, 50-cent piece or something, for whatever worked, I did get a little bit of allowance, but I don't remember what it was. But I'd want to go to the store. Or I remember the first time that I worked handing Daddy bricks as he was building, working on some apartments, and I was handing him bricks while he laid them. He was able to lay a lot, and I made $5 that day, the first $5 I ever made in one day. And I, you know what I bought with it? I bought me a nice billfold, and then I didn't have any money to put in it. But if I ever got any more money, I was ready. So, as we see here and understand that there, if we honor the Lord with our substance, He will bless it. He will honor that. And that's what we should say, as it says back over in chapter 3, honoring the Lord with our substance. Now, in verse 24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." That word "betimes" means when necessary or needed. I heard a preacher say that a few years ago, he said we ought to spank our own kids so other folks won't want to. Amen? Now, it ought to be appropriate, and we're going to talk about that for just a moment. I'm going to share some verses with you. I heard another preacher say, he said, you know, my dad didn't know much Bible, but he had a hold of this verse. He had a grip on it. And whenever he was all the time quoting it. You know why? Because he needed spankings. He needed to be chastened. The word "chasten" in the scripture is talking about correction. Correction. And sometimes correction's not is sometimes it's more painful than others. Let's say that. But correction is usually always painful to some degree, because it hurts our feelings or our attitude and breaks our spirit. You know, there's things that we can do with children and grandchildren and all that as far as correction is concerned. And the Lord corrects us, doesn't He? And we'll look at that verse here in just a moment. And what I'm trying to say is that we're living in a society now that says that there should be, that you really don't have to correct your children. You lift all restraints and you just let them do whatever they want to do. And that's been going on for a few years now, and haven't we seen the results of that? We have. God's Word teaches us that corporal punishment should be used. God's Word tells us that. And I know it should be appropriate. We're not talking about beating. We're not talking about child abuse whatsoever. I'm not for that whatsoever. You know that. But there is an appropriateness. And in reality, corporal punishment should be the last resort. Just something short of the death penalty. Right? I'm kidding. Did you ever hear somebody say that my dad's going to take me out to the woodshed, out behind the woodshed? What does that mean? That means that he's going to apply heat for the seat. Apply when needed, right? That's what they used to say. They used to sell paddles in the souvenir shops. It said, and on the paddle it said, "Heat for the seat. Apply when needed." Or it might say the Board of Education on it. Yeah. Let me give you some verses here. Proverbs 19, verse 18 says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope." That means early. "And let not thy soul spare for his crying." Did you know children can turn it on and turn it off like a switch? And they learn quickly. I did. When my dad was going to... my dad used a belt on me, and I would not recommend that whatsoever, because you don't know how much pressure you're putting. Sometimes my dad would paddle me and it would be sufficient. Sometimes I wouldn't even feel it. But guess what? I would act like I felt it, because I didn't want to go through it again. And then sometimes I could talk my dad out of it, because I'd say, "Dad, let's talk about this." And if I could get him calmed down, he wouldn't whip me. But My mom, she wasn't so easy to deal with. Mom used to get a switch. And I had short pants on.
Ooh, I hate you.
Oh. And me and mom would go round and round in a circle. But I learned that if I grabbed her around the legs, she couldn't get much on it because she was afraid of hitting herself. She was afraid of hitting herself, you know. But if I held on real tight, it wasn't as bad. But if she got me out there where she could get some torque on that, then yeah. But that's the way it is with the Lord. You know, when the Lord's spanking us, we need to get close to Him, don't we? Because it's not as bad when we do. That's the point of it, is anyway. It's for correction. It's not, you know, they say punishment. Well, punishment is not really the right word to use here. It's correction. Because it's like when we look at what Christ did for us on the cross. He bore our punishment, didn't He? He took our sins upon Him and He took our punishment upon Himself. But He does chasten us. He's not punishing us for our sins. He's chastening us to bring us back into fruitful life, as it talks about in Hebrews chapter 12, as it talks about the chastening that we receive from God. I'll give you a couple more verses. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. My cousin Wayne, who's with the Lord now, he died a few years ago of cancer. When he'd give his testimony, he said, if my dad hadn't have taken the time to spank me like he did, he said, I'd be in hell today. He said, my dad's spanking has kept me out of hell. Because the group, the crowd that I was running with, I know I would have got killed. I know it. The gangs and the trouble. I never knew what he was at. He was probably 22 years older than me, my cousin Wayne. So I didn't know what he was talking about specifically. But he said, my dad's spankings kept me out of hell. And so the Bible teaches that as far as attention, as far as awareness is concerned. You know, maybe the punishment or the correction or whatever it is you want to call it should fit the crime. Just like it is in as far as the legal system is concerned. Look at in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14, it says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. He'll not die. You're not talking about abusing him. We're talking about correcting him. And sometimes there needs to be that kind of correction. Proverbs 29, verses 15 and 17. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Correct thy soul, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Correction. That's what the chastisement is for. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Now here's the verse, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father, the Son in whom he delighteth. Does the Lord have to take us out to the woodshed from time to time? He most certainly does. Now that's not this first choice, is it? First choice is that he speaks to us. He tells us, maybe through the preacher, through the reading of God's word, somehow he tells us. Through the Spirit of God, conviction, he tells us. It's like I've used the illustration before. I don't know if I've given it to you folks or not. There is a progression of what God does to correct us. Like my son when he was little, if he was out, had a stick, and he was lopping off the tops of the flowers that his mom had planted, you know, just beating them down, I go to the door and I say, son, cut that out. Stop that. And he looks at me and I think, okay, he got it. I go back inside. I look out the window and he's doing it again. And I say, okay, son, come in here. I'm going to give you a little reminder. And I spank him a bit and send him back. He goes back outside and he starts doing it again. And then I'm thinking, he's pretty dense here about this. He must be getting more pleasure out of cutting them things off with a Did anybody ever have a whip, a bull whip? Any of these men? My dad got me a whip, and I had the most fun with it. Not with my mom's flowers. Don't worry about that. But if he started doing it again, destroying his mom's flowers, then I could say, I might go to the door and I'd say, "Well, how old is he? You know, if he's old enough, he's heard me. I've spanked him. He knows." Then what do I do? Do I spank him again? I say, "Son, come in here. Sit down right here by me, because I know you'll be good right here." And you know that's how the Lord has to do some people, because he'll speak to them. He'll warn them. He'll spank them. And then if they continue to live in sin and to bring reproach upon his name and cause others to stumble over them into hell, he'll say, "Come on up here and sit down by me, because I know you'll be good right here." It's called the sin unto death. And there is a sin unto death. And so that sin unto death can be committed. I've known those who I believe with all my heart have committed it. And it's so sad to go to the funeral of someone who you know the Lord took them home because of the way they were living. It happens. "Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." And my daughter's here today, and she knows as well as I'm standing here that I told them that if I didn't care anything about them, I would just let them run their own merry way and let them do whatever they want, regardless of whether they got hurt or not. It wasn't just because of them representing my family. I loved them, and I didn't want them to be hurting themselves. There was a house that was next door to where I grew up that was rented out from time to time. And actually, the people that rented it out, the dad worked for my dad. And it was a young family, and they had two kids. And they were about, I'm guessing, 2 years old and 4 years old. And those kids were as tough a kids as I've ever seen in my life. And I was probably 12, 13 when they were there. But they would go in the kitchen and get a knife, big old butcher knife, go out and start digging holes in the yard with it or doing different things. They'd climb up on top of the car, fall off on their head, get up. Didn't cry. They were just tough. They didn't know that. And I observed that for a period of time. I observed Mom never, she'd go up there and said, "Hey, don't be climbing on top of the car." And then she'd go back in the house. I would have been throwing a fit because they were scratching the car up and doing all kinds of damage and playing with knives and playing with dangerous things. And I was a kid and I knew that I was telling them, "Hey, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself." Playing with fire. Had the lighter out, burning leaves. Got their mom's cigarette lighter. I said, "Y'all going to set the house on fire? They're going to hurt themselves. They're going to cut themselves. They're going to get a concussion." I don't know what. God was merciful to them while they lived there. They lived there about 6 months. That was about all I could handle. Made me a nervous wreck. "But whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father in whom he delighteth." So remember that. Look at verse 25. "The righteous eateth to the satisfying of the soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want." Again, the principle of the Lord providing for his people. Psalm 34, verse 10. This is one of my favorite verses, favorite psalms in the Bible. "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing." In Psalm 37, verses 3, 16, 18 and 19, listen to these verses. "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." See, there's a blessing with serving God. "The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul," it says in verse 25. "But the belly of the wicked shall want." Is this talking about spiritually? Yes. It's talking spiritually, but it's also talking about this life. This life. The honor, the fact that God honors those that honor Him is so clear. I can testify of it. Many, if most all of you, could testify of it as well. That God has blessed you and helped you because of you honoring Him and putting Him first in your life. And so let's be sure to share that with the younger folks. Let's bow our heads in prayer.